Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments of Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And a good pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Our special edition of Straight Talk on this Labor Day 2021. We'll get underway right after these messages.
You know us, you love us, and if you want us to keep doing the job the way we've always done it, then we need your help. Substation 2 has immediate openings suitable for all ages and skill levels. We offer great pay, great perks, and a fun place to work. Apply inside or online. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in at locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Want it? Buy it with a credit card from Founders Federal Credit Union. With low rates, no annual fee, and various card options, you can't go wrong. And keeping up with your card activity has never been easier. Simply open Founders online or the Founders app. Visit foundersfcu.com/visa for more information and to apply for a Founders credit card today. Not a Founders member? Visit Relax, join founders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
You know us, you love us, and if you want us to keep doing the job the way we've always done it, then we need your help. Substation 2 has immediate openings suitable for all ages and skill levels. We offer great pay, great perks, and a fun place to work. Apply inside or online. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
We are very pleased to have with us on this special Labor Day broadcast a fellow who pops in here every once in a while by the name of Lindsey Graham. He is our United States Senator, our senior senator, from the great state of South Carolina. And Lindsey, we always appreciate you dropping in when you get a chance to come to Rock Hill.
Thank you, Manny. Y'all are growing like a weed up here. There's a lot going on.
I have to ask you very quickly. You just came out of a roundtable about infrastructure.
Yep.
What did you come away with from that gathering?
You got more needs than I got money.
I knew you were going to say that.
So here's what I learned. It takes 30 minutes on average to get to work in York County. I think Lancaster County was 27.8. The population growth in these two counties are in the top four of the state of South Carolina.
Yeah.
The Panthers are moving over. I-77 has brought a lot of people to this area. We have water, sewer, and road needs that are just almost unlimited. So we're trying to pass a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. It'll be $1 billion more for the state of South Carolina. It'd be more money for water and sewer. And I want to make sure you get your fair share of it. But I spend a lot of time talking to your local folks about the needs. And this part of South Carolina is just on fire economically. Mm. And when you decide where to locate as a business, if you go to a place that doesn't have good infrastructure, you're not going to go. And I think one of the reasons the Panthers moved their facilities over here is because it's so much cheaper in South Carolina. You have good workers, and you have very pro-business government. But that exchange, that we built, I think is 160, I can't remember the number, that will allow the Panthers to move their practice facility and their business interest, and these are good paying jobs. It's just an example of the needs up here. That was $35 million.
Yeah, that's the new interstate exit to 81,
yeah,
I think it's 81, called.
81, yeah.
Have you had a chance to see the site?
I'm going. So I called the guy that owns the Panthers, and he's
David Tepper.
He is so impressed with this area. Boy, if we could have gotten to him, if he'd been the original owner, they may have built the damn thing over here. So, no, he's very excited about the investment over there. They have this practice facility. It can be a stadium. It can be used for a lot of different things. It's going to be a big economic boom. So I'm going to go. He's going to show me around, and he's got some plans for the area that are going to be just incredible. And this facility here, the Sports Center.
Yeah, Sports and Events Center.
I've never seen anything like it. Now, I was just over there. That's where we did the roundtable discussion. And there's going to be a big announcement soon about how that's going to be used. And the bottom line is it's becoming a destination.
Yeah.
One day, you're going to say, where do you live? Instead of being near Charlotte, they're going to say Charlotte's near you.
Or as I say, Charlotte, that suburb to the north.
Yeah,
of the annex into South Carolina.
I think that's the way it's going to play out over time.
Got to ask you one more local question, and I know you've heard about this already. You're getting some heat from the local Republican organizations, not liking your votes and positions on various issues. How have you responded back to them?
Tried to explain what I was doing, and I stand by my decision to vote for a bill that would create $1 trillion available for roads, bridges, and ports, broadband, $65 billion in this bill to finish out broadband for rural areas, Internet capability really determines quality of life these days. It's paid for, in my view. I was glad to work across party lines to do something that made sense to me. The $3.5 trillion infrastructure package is socialism. Mm. So Secretary Hall, the Department of Transportation, said that this bill would be a big benefit to South Carolina. So I did what I thought was best for South Carolina. That's my job.
Yep. Got it. One follow-up question on that infrastructure bill number two, the alleged infrastructure bill number two. Assuming that it is going to pass because of the way things are now in Washington, can that be undone if there is a change?
Some of it can, yeah, definitely, but I don't think it's going to pass.
Well,
I don't think they're going to pass the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill because of this other bill. Manchin and Sinema are two Democrats.
Right.
That have stood firm against the left, wanting to take over the Senate and change the filibuster. If you want D.C. and Puerto Rico to become a state, the only way they can do it is to do away with the filibuster and just require a simple majority. If you want SR1 to become law, change the filibuster, deal out the Republicans. Well, these two Democrats have said they don't want to make the Senate the House. I worked with them to pass an infrastructure package that I thought made sense. And I think they're far less likely to change the filibuster rule now because they can go home and say, hey, they're Republicans we can work with. And at the end of the day, the liberals hate the infrastructure bill because it's a place for people to land less than $3.5 trillion. Now, what I think will happen is that a lot of moderate Democrats will support this bill but will say no to the $3.5 trillion. You've already heard Manchin say, and Sinema both, they're not going to vote for the second bill the way it's drafted.
Well, let's hope that all works out.
I hope so.
Unfortunately, the rest of this interview is going to rely deal with what's going on in the world. And you've been very outspoken, as have many people, about this mess we have in Afghanistan. You're a military guy. I do not understand. Maybe you can explain it to me. With all the brain power we have in the military, if the decision was made to get out and get out now, why was there not some kind of an exit plan?
Yeah.
We're going to do A, B, C, and D, and then say goodbye to Afghanistan instead of just pulling the plug and running.
Well, number one, the commander-in-chief makes the decision. The military advises. I'm convinced that Joe Biden turned down a good plan, and this plan that we have today was his plan, that General Biden is a terrible general, that Joe Biden's been wrong about everything for the last 30 years when it comes to foreign policy. It wasn't an intelligence failure by the intel community. The intelligence failure is Joe Biden. He can't put the puzzle together. He got out of Iraq, pushed to get us out of Iraq. that led to ISIS forming the caliphate, that attacked 20 different countries and killed 2,000 people because he thought he was smarter than the military. I'm convinced, but we'll get to the bottom of it. This is what we need to be doing, finding out how this happened, that Joe Biden turned down good advice and came up with this idea on his own, and he's just a wrecking ball. Who in their right mind would take the military out first before you took the civilians out? That's what we did. Who would close Bagram Air Base, which is the best evacuation place in Afghanistan, and rely on an airport in the middle of a city controlled by the Taliban? This was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I want to hold everybody accountable, but I really believe this is dereliction of duty to leave behind hundreds of American citizens in the hands of the enemy, abandon thousands of Afghanis who fought along our side. I think he should be impeached. I really believe that. I don't say that lightly. If this is not dereliction of duty, what would be?
And then this morning I got a list from one of the House committees about all the equipment that was left behind.
Billions.
Helicopters, Humvees, 50 caliber machine guns, all kinds of weapons, $60 billion worth of equipment. If you weren't going to take it back with you, why didn't you at least destroy it?
Well, I think the problem was that they thought the Afghan army could last longer. What happened is that you've had over 50,000 Afghans die fighting terrorism. We've had over 2,000 Americans. God bless them all. They were trained to fight with us providing air power. When Biden pulled the plug, it broke the morale of the army, and they fell apart at a faster pace. But you should have anticipated that. I believe, and this is why we need an investigation, that the intelligence community and other people told Biden that if you pull the plug the way you're talking about, the whole thing could collapse in days and weeks, not months and years. And what have we done? We left hundreds of Americans behind in the hands of a brutal enemy, a terrorist group called the Taliban. Thousands of Afghans who fought along our side. Who's going to help us in the future? And billions of dollars worth of military equipment. You're going to ask me a question in a minute. If you came up with a plan to screw up the world, could you have done any better than Biden?
I've been reading my list.
In the area of Afghanistan, I don't think you could have done a worse job if you sat down and tried to. You've empowered the Taliban with equipment they never dreamed of having. You've made it harder to get people to fight along your side in the future by abandoning the Afghans. And you made another 9/11 far more likely because the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are sympathetic to each other. The number two leader of the Taliban has a $10 billion bounty on his head by the U.S. government for being a terrorist. They just killed a guy today who was a folk singer. He would sing folk songs of Afghanistan. They banned music and they shot him in the head.
Yep. So I want you to help me with this. When we left World War II, we left tens of thousands of troops in Germany, some of which are still there today. I believe we have just as many right along the North Korean-South Korean border.
Yeah, right.
Why would we not leave whatever the right number is, 2,000, 3,000 troops, at the Bagram Air Force Base so that we could keep a close eye on what the bad guys are doing? We've already done this successfully,
Manny,
in other countries.
I just wish you were president because you would have asked that question and the military would say, well, you should. Okay. Listen, I can understand being frustrated with these wars. I can understand being frustrated with the people in Afghanistan, the government particularly. But your choice is between sort of corrupt politicians and terrorists. Over time, there are young people coming along in Afghanistan, young girls particularly. But do you have insurance on your house?
Sure.
Do you have fire insurance?
Sure.
It would be like canceling your fire insurance when the neighborhood's on fire. That's how dumb this is. The 2,500 to 4,000 troops we had, CIA operatives and counterterrorism forces, was an insurance policy against 9/11. They could work with the Afghans, go out at night and kill these bastards before they attack us. Here's Lindsey Graham's theory about how to fight terrorism. Kill them before they kill you. Hit them in their backyard so they can't come to ours. Do it with partners rather than doing it by yourself. If you don't have your foot on their throat over there, they're coming back here. Why are they this way? They have a view of religion where Islam is the master religion. that the Muslims who don't practice it their way are going to get killed. They're going to destroy the state of Israel and come after infidels like us Christians. They're compelled by their faith to kill us all. Hitler was compelled by his demonic mind to purify the world and create a master race. They want a master religion. If you think they're going to give up, they're not. If you think they're tired of fighting you, you're wrong. You may be tired of fighting them. Al-Qaeda is going to have safe haven to hit us again. On the 20th anniversary of 9/11, we've given the country back to terrorists, and we got thousands of people trapped behind lines, and we've enriched the Taliban militarily. This is just a complete, utter disaster. So I'll leave you with this thought. As we remember 9/11, which will be here in a few days, the only reason they killed 3,000 on 9/11 and not more is they couldn't find a way to kill more of us. If Al-Qaeda had a bomb, if they had a nuclear weapon, if they had a chemical weapon, if they had a biological weapon, if they had some form of COVID, do you think they would use it?
Absolutely.
The only way you prevent that is to keep your foot on their throat, keep them pinned down over there so they can't come here. And these forces you talked about at Bagram Air Force Base was an insurance policy against 9/11, and Joe Biden canceled it for no good reason.
So I guess this is something that makes people so mad about politics. We had a plan in place, the former President Trump, that seemed to be working pretty well.
It was.
Why couldn't the new administration just give a little bit of credit that the plan was working, finish it up, and be done with it, and then just he could take credit for people flying out of...
Don't you think that if Biden had done that, people would have applauded?
Yeah.
What if he'd said, listen, I don't agree with Trump, but he did a good job on the vaccine. I would encourage you to take it. And thank you, President Trump, for creating this vaccine in 9 months. It would save millions of lives. And if you haven't taken it, you should, because if you get COVID, this Delta version, you can die. The hospitals are full. I was vaccinated. I still got it, but I never had to go to the hospital because I think the vaccine works. So what if Trump had said, thank you, Mr. President, for the vaccine? What if Biden had said, you know what? I've changed a lot of your policies, but I'm going to leave this one in place because the threat of 9/11 is real. I don't know, but there seems to be a desire by Biden to go after everything Trump did and change it, whether it makes sense or not. President Trump had a plan, and I work with him on this. We're going to leave forces behind, and we're not going to withdraw until conditions allow. And what were the two conditions? The Taliban had to work with the Afghan government, not take it over, to find a way to power share, to give dignity to women and not be crazy. And if they tried to take the country over militarily, all bets were off. If he had kept those two conditions on the table, he would have had plenty of leverage to keep our troops over there because the Taliban violated the agreement. But when he pulled the plug on Afghanistan and changed the Trump plan, what you see on your TV screen is a result.
You know, in the news last night came the story about a lieutenant colonel, yeah, whose name I've forgotten,
Marine,
who resigned his commission. He was a Marine. He said, I don't want to be part of this organization for what it's done in Afghanistan. He's foregoing his pension, any benefits, what have you. So I asked myself, why didn't somebody at the Joint Chiefs level, who knew that this was a lousy plan, stand up and do what they should have done and say, Mr. President, you are dead wrong for what you are doing?
Now, this is really a good question. Number one, I was a colonel in the Air Force for 33 years, and you have a chain of command. You're entitled to your opinion, but you've got to be respectful, you know, to the chain of command. This lieutenant colonel decided that he couldn't serve under these conditions, and he resigned.
Yeah.
So the question for us all is, what do you do as a military leader when your advice is given and not taken, and you believe it's going to create a bad outcome? So General Mattis, who was the Secretary of Defense, resigned because Trump threatened to pull all the troops out of Syria. Right. President Trump changed his mind because I, along with others, convinced him, if you pull our forces out, ISIS will come back, and the Kurds who fought along our side to destroy ISIS in Syria will get slaughtered by the Turks and ISIS. President Trump adjusted. But I'm waiting for somebody to do what you said. I'm waiting for somebody to stand up and say, I can't continue to serve. I gave my best advice. It was ignored. Clearly, I'm not effective, so I need to step down. The question for me is that President Biden said that we're all on the same sheet of music, same page. If that's true, we need to turn the page and all those who wrote the page, including our military leadership. I'm not there yet, but I want to find out what happened. Was he given good advice he said no to, or was he given a bad plan that he said yes to? I think it was he got good advice and just turned it down. But what did the military do, and when did they do it to try to get a better outcome? And I think what the lieutenant colonel's saying is that there has to be some form of accountability here, and I agree with that.
Of course, there are people who are out there saying that all the members of the Joint Chiefs should be fired for letting this happen.
I don't know what the – I know this, that the commander-in-chief is Joe Biden, that he made the decision to turn down sound military advice. I believe that. He did it in Iraq. He's the one guy who said we shouldn't go after bin Laden. He's been wrong about everything. So we impeached Trump twice, once over a phone call and another time over a speech. Dereliction of duty is a principle I'm familiar with because I was a military prosecutor, defense attorney, and a military judge. Spent a lot of time in military courtrooms. I'm convinced that any commander who did this come up with a plan to leave people behind, American citizens and allies behind, would lose their job and maybe court-martialed. I think now's the time to look at whether or not President Biden was derelict in his duties as a commander-in-chief and whether or not impeachment is a proper remedy. Let's start there and see where we go.
I have to ask you one more question, unrelated to Afghanistan, but certainly another area that continues to plague the United States, part of that script about what's going wrong in America, and that is, of course, our Mexican border. The Supreme Court has ruled that the stay in Mexico policy needs to be put back in place.
Thank God.
However, it takes Mexico to help us out.
Right.
And why would Mexico want to help us out now?
Yeah.
When they're getting rid of all the people they don't want to take care of, and you don't have a president who will put the stick on them the way the previous administration
This would
did.
Be a good way to kind of wrap this all up. If you told me January the 20th, by September the 1st, all these things that have happened could happen, I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't believe that anybody could screw the world up this bad in 7 months. We had a secure border, the lowest illegal crossings in 45 years, to be replaced by a broken border with the highest number of illegal crossings in 7 months because he changed Trump policy. Here's what Trump did. He told El Salvador and Honduras, the triangle nations, if you don't stop the caravans, I'm going to cut all your money off. What's Joe Biden doing? Wants to give them more money, and the caravans keep coming. He told Mexico that if you don't help me stop the flow of illegal immigrants coming to the United States to your country, I'm going to put tariffs on all of your products. Guess what? They responded. Trump killed the number two terrorist, the number one terrorist in the world, Soleimani from Iran. He put tariffs on Chinese products. He renegotiated NAFTA. Who is going to be intimidated by Joe Biden? So you see China telling Taiwan, look at what they did in Afghanistan, and I fear that China will come after Taiwan. I fear that Russia is going to be more aggressive. But how do you get Mexico to cooperate with us under this construct? I don't think you can. So the problem at the border is this bad because they took the policies of Trump and changed them. And here's the biggest change he made. Instead of applying for asylum in the United States where we release you and you never show up for your court date, Trump said, you're going to stay in Mexico. And when your date comes down the road 3 years from now, you can come here for your court hearing. People are not going to pay a human trafficker, a smuggler, $20,000 to sit in Mexico for 3 years. He stopped it overnight. And when he got unaccompanied minors, he sent them back to the country they came from. And he told these countries, your people can apply for asylum in your country, not ours, and it all stopped. Biden changed all those policies. The Supreme Court is now trying to reinstitute remain in Mexico. But Biden is not going to do a damn thing about securing a broken border. He's spending money like a drunken sailor on things that are not infrastructure. You see inflation very high. You see Afghanistan in the hands of terrorists. The likelihood of 9/11 has gone through the roof. You see a world that is becoming more dangerous by the day. And we have a commander-in-chief who I think is out of touch with the threats we face. I think his economic policies are going to hurt the working man and woman in America. And I think his foreign policy is going to make us weaker throughout the world. Our friends in Israel are really worried about the Iran nuclear agreement, starting it back up again. I've never, since I've been in politics, seen so many threats at home and abroad as I do today.
Do you have a positive ending message as to what it's going to take to reverse this course?
Yes, I do.
Please.
An election. If we could take back the House and all we need is 5 seats, this crazy Nancy Pelosi agenda stops. If we could pick up one more senator, I would be chairman of the Budget Committee, not Bernie Sanders. In 2022, I think there's going to be a Republican wave because the policies of Joe Biden are reckless, dangerous, irresponsible, and we'll have a chance as Republicans to slow down this socialist train and to affect world order. So the thing I like about a democracy, you're always one election away from screwing it up or getting it right. I believe by 2024 that President Trump is going to look a lot better to a lot of Americans than he did in 2020, that his policies will stand the test of time, that we'll take back the House and the Senate in 2022, and the chance of a Republican president in 2024 is going through the roof, and that puts a burden on us as a party to reverse all this damage, but to continue a positive vision. Tim Scott is my desk mate, African-American Republican senator. Enterprise zones were created by Tim Scott, places where you would encourage business to go to blighted areas. We've got Nikki Haley. We've got Marco Rubio. Our party is full of younger people of all backgrounds. I think the future of the Republican Party is very bright, but we've got to do 2 things. We've got to show that our policies are better and different, and we've got to tell the country we're willing to work with the other side when it makes sense. Because the country writ large wants us to work together, and the country, I think, as a whole, doesn't want to be a socialist nation. So, yeah, from a Republican point of view, I think our future is very bright. From a nation's point of view, we have so many things going for us, but we're on a very dangerous road, and if we don't get off of it soon, it's going to end badly.
United States Senator Lindsey Graham, thank you for being with us on this Labor Day, and Godspeed to you, my friend.
Godspeed to you. Thank you.
And that wraps up our special edition of Straight Talk on this Labor Day 2021, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com. And don't forget, fresh subs and salads prepared 6 days a week, including today, right here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. Enjoy your holiday.